Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Then there 10,000 years, light shining as the sun. Leave numberless days to sing God's praise, and when we first begun, my chains are gone.
Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 23. In addition to your own Bible, you may find it on the back side of your message notes or beginning on page 392 in your worship Bible. Please follow along as I read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
This past summer, we decided to do this project, which we called Summer in the Psalms, which got informally called Psalm Like It Hot, which I thought that's kind of a funny title, where we just took a psalm per week, and we just took them consecutively, one beginning with the first and making our way through. And it was a 13-week project that a lot of us were a part of to just kind of encourage our prayer and reflection time during the course of the summer. And many of us have enjoyed that so much, we've continued to do that ever since, every week taking the next psalm. And in fact, when you come here every week in the past 23 weeks, we have read the next consecutive psalm. We usually do it at the beginning of our service time, but today, because I thought I just wanted to talk about it today, I thought we would do it during this part of the service. But if you would like to be a part of our summer, our psalm project, we'd love to have you share in that by maybe letting us know, and I can send you our weekly email. And it's just been a really rewarding process for us to simply reflect deeply on one psalm for the whole week. One of the mistakes we make with regard to the psalms at various times is we tend to read them so consecutively, moving from one to the next. They really are best when they are ruminated upon, when they are chewed over, thought over, and so we're taking one for each week. So we encourage you to do that. Our typical pattern here, if this is your first time, is we study through the books of the Bible, and we've been studying the book of Acts together, and we're in the 12th chapter, but we'll pick that up next week, so you can get back to that. This week, we want to take a look at this 23rd Psalm. You know, I was thinking, what is the Bible equivalent of the modern-day cowboy? You know, they didn't have cowboys until the West came around, right? What is the Bible equivalent of the modern-day cowboy? The shepherd, don't you think? They took care of these sheep, they gathered them, they took care of them. And so we have this very famous psalm, the Shepherd's Psalm, that I think is a great encouragement to each of us. Ruth just read it for you, and it's a beautiful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overfloweth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We know this psalm, and I have to say, when I do funeral services, I often will speak from this psalm. Often we think of it as a funeral psalm, but it is a beautiful psalm. And I thought on this Wild West Days weekend, we'd take a minute to think about this psalm and what it might mean for us. I love the first part of it where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, when I was a child, I could never figure out what that meant. What does it mean, I shall not want? To me, when I thought about want, it was like, I want, God will never give me what I want, you know. But it doesn't mean that at all. It means I shall not lack for anything. I have everything that I need. David, who wrote this psalm, was himself a shepherd and later became the king of Israel. And as he sat reflecting on that, he thought about how he cared for the people of Israel, and they depended upon him. He thought of himself as a shepherd when the sheep would be dependent upon him, and he would care for them. And he began to think, you know, that's the way the Lord is for me. He is my shepherd. He takes care of me. He makes sure that I don't lack for anything. So I want you to think about this under two specific headings and just a brief meditation as we spend our time here together. First of all, the Lord is my good shepherd. And secondly, the Lord is my glorious home. The Lord is my good shepherd, first of all. And secondly, the Lord is my glorious home. It says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, sheep are very dependent creatures. I read a news report in the USA Today from 2005. This is how it goes. In Istanbul, Turkey, first one sheep jumped to its death. Then stunned Turkish shepherds who had left the herd to graze while they had breakfast watched as nearly 1,500 others followed, each leaping off the same cliff, Turkish media reported. In the end, 450 dead animals lay on top of one another in a billowy white pile, the Aksam newspaper said. Those who jumped later were saved as the pile got higher and higher and the fall more cushioned, Aksam reported. There was nothing we could do. They're all wasted, Nezvat Bayhan, a member of one of the 26 families whose sheep were grazing together in that herd, was quoted as saying to the newspaper. The estimated loss of the families in the town of Givas, located in the Van province of eastern Turkey, tops $100,000, a significant amount of money in a country where the GDP per head is around $2,700. Each family had about 20 sheep, Aksam quoted one of the villagers as saying, but now only a few families have sheep left. It's going to be very hard for us. What had happened is one sheep had jumped off the cliff and the rest of them just followed right after, one after the other, because sheep have a tremendous flocking mentality. Sheep are not the brightest in the pen, right? They're a little bit dim-witted. In fact, I had a man in the church where I pastored who used to take care of sheep, and he claimed, and he wasn't the kind to lie to me, that he had one time, the sheep got, he was so angry at his sheep, he just yelled at him and gave the sheep a heart attack, and the sheep died right on the spot. Now, I know in the country people sometimes tell stories, but he told me as if it was the God's honest truth, and I want to tell him. And so, Johnny, if you lied to me, you just made me lie to someone else. I remember that. That was a long time ago. You know, sheep are very dependent creatures. What David is saying, I'm like a sheep. I am very dependent, too. I really need someone to take care of me. We are incredibly dependent creatures. We are sometimes rather dim-witted. Now, I know you think you're smarter than those sheep, but don't you find yourself sometimes just following the crowd, doing what everybody else does, knowing in your little sheep mind that it's not going to turn out good for you, but can't help just going off the same cliff, buying things you can't afford, doing things you know you really aren't going to regret later, and later on you find yourself on the sheep pile just hoping you're not one of the 450 who died, but maybe one of them who survived on the top of that pile. Sheep are very dependent creatures. And so the wise human being understands how dependent he is on the shepherd. There's two things that David basically says about the sheep in this story. First of all, he says the sheep are grateful because God leads us faithfully. God leads us faithfully. That's the first thing. The sheep can be very thankful. He leads us faithfully. In verses 1 to 3, listen to what it says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We can be thankful that we have a shepherd who takes good care of us, who leads us faithfully. Now, one of the things that my wife and my daughter did yesterday, forgive me, Kyan, you're in church. Remember when you were a kid, they used to do this, Dad used to do this too, is that Matt was taking care of the baby, and the baby, and I was sort of not really taking care of the baby, Matt was, and the baby was supposed to take a nap about 3:30, you know. And after about 4 o'clock rolled around and she hadn't fallen asleep, Matt said, will you have my back when Kyan comes back? I said, yeah, I'll even lie for you if you want me to. He said, no, you don't have to do that. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sometimes we don't want to lie down, do we? Sometimes we don't know what's good for us, and we all can see it in the little children that we take care of when they desperately need a nap, and yet they think they don't. You see, it's hard for us to admit how much we need our good shepherd. We desperately need him. Sheep are not very smart, but they are very valuable to shepherds. Sheep were among the most valuable commodities. Virtually every part of a sheep was useful. Back in those days, they actually drank from sheep's milk. They didn't do it after a while, but in the ancient days, they did. They also, their sheep's meat was very valuable. And, of course, the most valuable part of a sheep was its wool, a renewable resource that they could use and was very profitable, very valuable. And in the same way, we are very valuable to our shepherd. He takes care of us. He leads us faithfully. It says, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. You know, sheep are not really able to find themselves a good grazing pasture. I'm told that they will just continue to eat dirt if you don't move them into another spot where they can get better source, better sustenance. And isn't it painful almost for us to admit that we are kind of that way too? You know how it is when you take a long trip, you put all those goodies in the car? Mine are M&Ms. What do you carry? You know? And I hate it when my wife gives me these little bags of M&Ms. That's just not right. I want the big one, right? And I take a few, and then I take a few more, and I just know it's going to make me not feel very good. But what do? Maybe you don't, but that's what I do. We don't always have good self-control. We don't always know what's good for us. And we can tease about it when it comes to food, when we're traveling. But what about your real life? What about what really matters to you? What about you know good and well that your family is more important than your job, but how often do you put your job first? You know very well that it's more important for you to be a good husband to your wife than to watch the Cardinals play at 11 o'clock this morning, right? But what are you going to do? Leave me alone, right? Now we're better off because, you know, we can pause it, right? Or we can record it. It's not the same. Remember the old days? Shut up. Something's going to happen. Wait for the commercial. And we know good and well that that's not healthy. We know what it's like when our children are needing attention from us when they're little. And they need to be taught right and wrong. They need to be cared for. And yet we are lazy sometimes. And we let our wife or our husband take care of the kids. We let someone else do it. We know what's really good for us. And yet we don't follow through. And so we need a good shepherd to help us know what's really good for us. He leads me faithfully. He restores my soul. You know, there are some things that do restore your soul and other things that don't. You've noticed it, haven't you? There's some things that you can enjoy while you're doing it, but it's empty when you're done. Now, I'm a kind of a baseball fan of sorts, and I'm a little in withdrawals right now because the World Series has ended. But even I, who follow baseball very carefully, have trouble remembering who won which World Series when. Have you ever noticed that? Like, who won? Oh, yeah, the Giants. Oh, yeah, those Giants. 3 times out of 5 years. What's up with that? And we think it's so important. But it doesn't really restore our souls, does it? Sometimes we give our things that don't really matter, and yet things like sunsets and time away, vacations, time to spend with our family, time, reading, time reflecting, these things restore our souls. And, in fact, time feeding myself on the words of Scripture, they restore our souls. We need the Lord to help us to do that. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yeah, He leads me along the right path. Ever been on the wrong path, trying to get somewhere where you made a left when you should have made a right? It's very, very frustrating. Very frustrating. And don't you want to just throw your phone when it gave you wrong directions? You know? It's like, that's fault, you know? Yeah, we need God to guide us through the maze of this life. These are very simple things. But truthfully, we're very simple people. We're not so smart as we think we are. We need someone to guide us. And we have someone to guide us. We have that good shepherd who takes care of us, who first of all leads us faithfully. And then there's a second thing that it says there. It says, he protects me constantly. He protects me constantly. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, what we love about this is God sometimes takes us through difficult waters, through shadowy times, through even the valley of the shadow of death. But when we go through those, we don't go through them alone. We have someone who walks with us into those moments. He protects us. And I think all of us could think of times when God protected us in the midst. He didn't always keep us away from difficult times. We do go through the valley of the shadow of death. But we fear no evil because God is with us. And what was the name of Jesus that was said to Joseph? He shall be called Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. And because Jesus is risen from the dead and we have faith in Him, His Spirit can be put into our hearts and we can say, God, You are with me. We can be thankful that we have a good shepherd who leads us faithfully, who protects us constantly. We can be grateful for his good care for us. David was grateful for that. And now as we get to the next verses, verses 5 and 6, the image is no longer of a shepherd. The image is something very differently. If you try to keep the sheep image, you'll get a little confused. Notice what it says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Can you imagine putting a table in front of sheep? Here you go. Here's the food. Sheep don't know how to eat off the table, right? So the image is not about sheep. The image, in the second image here is not about the good shepherd, but let's say it this way. The Lord is my glorious home. The Lord is my glorious home. Listen to the text. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a picture of a truly generous host, of us walking into a magnificent mansion where the table is laid out for us. And we can be really banqueted at his table. And that's why the first thing under this point that he's saying is, the Lord is my glorious home. He feeds me lavishly. He feeds me lavishly. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You see, I've got the oil that is put on my face as I come into a banquet meal. I sit before a beautiful banquet table, and the cup of wine is overflowing for me. We have a Lord who feeds us lavishly and takes care of us. We see that God is deeply committed to us, and God loves us lavishly and feeds us well. But notice what it says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now that's odd. Who would want to sit in the presence of your enemy across the table? Hi, we're not friends, but we're eating together. Is that what's going on here? Well, it's a little bit obscure what's going on. But most commentators believe what is happening here is this is a festive victory meal where the enemy sits and watches you enjoy a great meal. You see? That was done sometimes in those days where they'd come in, they're sitting in the corner, and here you are in the master's house, and you are eating wonderfully. It's a victor's meal, and the enemies watch you enjoy. Those enemies who wanted to destroy you are watching you enjoy all the good things that are given. You see that? And in our lives, you know, there are enemies that want to destroy us too, that we find ourselves underneath the weight of. But because of what God has done for us, we can eat beautifully and not be taken in by the enemies, whatever they might be, that want to harm us, that want to hurt us. We can eat confidently. We can eat lavishly. We can eat with joy. We can eat without fear. We can eat without having the tax collector trying to take our taxes, or the guy, the foreclosure, trying to foreclose our homes, or all these kinds of things. We can eat with joy. The Lord is my glorious home. He feeds me lavishly. And then I like what it says in verse 6. It suggests to us this idea. Number 2, he pursues me relentlessly. He pursues me relentlessly. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the word for follow could just as well be translated, and kind of has this idea of pursuing me. He's pursuing me relentlessly with goodness and mercy. And I'm sure as you look back on your life, you can see that God has been giving to you his goodness and his mercy relentlessly. And in fact, that word mercy is really the word, it's the word chesed, which means steadfast love, God's covenantal love, God's love that he is determined to give to us, his faithful love. God has given to us his faithful love. Even while we're playing the sheep games that we play, he's still pursuing me. He's pursuing me relentlessly all the way through our lives. And I think if you were to pause and take a look at your life, you would be able to admit to yourself, yes, God has been good to me. There have been challenges and difficulties, but God has been on my side. God has been pursuing me. He's been taking care of me. He pursues me relentlessly. The Lord is my glorious home. And then the third thing about his glorious home, he feeds me lavishly, he pursues me relentlessly, and finally, he welcomes me eternally. He welcomes me eternally, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You're sitting at the table, and you think you're just a guest, when ultimately the master says, no, I've adopted you. This is your home. You know, we all want to have a good home, a place of security and of longing. And the truth is that in this life, we will always feel somewhat disconnected. We'll always feel a little out of place. You have those moments when everything feels just right, and then it kind of goes away like a wind or like a wisp or like a bird's song. It's there and it's beautiful, and then it's gone. That's because we have a more eternal home. When God is going to remake this world, when God is going to make all things new, including you and me, given new bodies in a new heaven, on a new earth, when he restores everything, and we will ultimately be with him, so that the goodness and mercy which we enjoyed in this life, fleeting though it sometimes is, we will enjoy forever with him in the welcoming place of the eternal places of God, in the new heavens and the new earth. It's a very simple psalm, really. It's a psalm of trust, but it's something that speaks of intimacy. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's an intimate psalm. It's not merely a picture on the wall to look at or a poem to listen to. It's an experience to be lived and felt. It's the opportunity to respond to a Lord who is deeply and intimately interested in you and me. And of course, as we fast forward to the New Testament times, when Jesus was on this earth, he said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Others come to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am the good shepherd. I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. One of the beautiful things as we look back at this psalm through the eyes of Jesus, we see that Jesus is that ultimate shepherd who gave his life for us, who sacrificed his life, for the Bible says, for the sins of the world. In fact, John, his cousin, when he saw him, said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. If we want to be wise sheep, we will recognize that we are incomplete until we find our completeness in him. All of us feel, to a degree, incomplete. We're looking for meaning. We're looking for fulfillment. We're looking for something to latch ourselves on to. The Bible teaches us that that incomplete place in our hearts can only be filled by Jesus. And that when we find completeness in him, we can enjoy all the good things of life. So if you're here today and you find yourself saying, you know, I've been wandering around like a stupid sheep. I keep going off the same cliff. I keep eating off the bad food. I keep ignoring the advice of my shepherd. You can be thankful. Your shepherd gave his life for you so that you could have new life through him. So he can give to you his faithful leadership in your life, his constant protection throughout your life, his lavish meals to strengthen you, his relentless love that he offers to you, and his eternal welcome which awaits you. When you've got those things in order, everything looks beautiful. You know, forgive me, Matt. But one of the most beautiful things that's happened to me was that day when Matt and Cayenne gave me a little picture, not the baby. I'm into that too. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just for the sake of my illustration, please. Now I feel bad for having said it. But you know, this picture of a future that would have my car, which had been kind of broken down and wasn't going to get fixed, in my garage, and a picture of an engine. So I got this engine. I want to put it in your car. You see? It's just beautiful to me. And then now, you know, the car makes its way back around. And so now I have this beautiful gift that I feel so wrong, almost, you know, but I need to take care of that. I need to honor the love of my children in making that available to me. And it affects the way that I want to treat myself and even that stupid old car, right? I know this is a cheesy illustration. I feel kind of bad for giving it because there's so many things more important. But in the same kind of way, God has given to you new life. You don't deserve it. You can't afford it. He did it for us. And when we embrace that, we can't help but move forward in a way that honors and cherishes the new life which God has given to us. And then we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in a green path. You see, this sense of confidence for God's gift to you and to me of so much greater value than any physical, tangible possession. It's new life. Many of you here today have already received that new life. And yet you find, if you're anything like me, you're sometimes eating out of the wrong trough, following the wrong crowd, thinking those things, and you know good and well it doesn't. I have good news for you. Jesus gave his life for that too, and he offers to us his grace even when we mess up. And there are others of us who maybe just need to say, you know, I never understood about what you did for me. Today, I want to receive the new life you gave to me by the giving of your life for me. What a wonderful way to celebrate Cowboy Church today. If you would say, you know, I'm in this beautiful banquet table here today. We've got the food available to us, the weather available for us, the God's word available to us. But, you know, let's make this my home. Let me dwell in God's habitation forever. We can do that by simply responding in faith to him. I encourage you to do that as we close our time together. Let's have prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful and thankful for the opportunity today to be thinking of you as my shepherd. And I acknowledge that you are a shepherd who loves us so much. And we are so grateful. But you are not just the shepherd, you're also the sheep. The sheep who is led like a lamb to the slaughter. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We thank you that we can simply come as we are to you, with our brokenness, with our shame, with our fears, and we can receive from you your new life, your forgiveness, and help us to honor that gift by everyday living with gratitude, taking care of the new life which you've given to us. I pray that you help us to respond to that today. In Jesus' name, amen.